I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the San Luis Obispo Airport. We're here with Kevin Booman, who's airport director. Hi, Kevin.
Good evening. How are you doing, Tom?
Talk to us a little bit about the game changer of this terminal versus the old one. There's a lot of new things here.
Well, there is. I mean, whether it's everything that the passenger experiences as they're dropped off at the curb, and the fact that we now have four front doors, we have multiple agent positions, self-check units, much larger security checkpoint. We have a full-body scanner that TSA is going to be using, which if somebody does alarm at the checkpoint, allows them to resolve that much more quickly rather than a full-body search. We've got a courtyard. We've got concessions in the secure area. The list goes on. And that's just on the kind of the convenient and cool things about the building. There's great efficiencies in this building with natural lighting and daylight harvesting and many of the green design features that brought us to a LEED Gold equivalency. It's been a two-year project that we're really proud of, both how it came together from a design standpoint as well as the construction standpoint. We think we've got a facility the community is really going to be proud of.
Talk to us real quickly about TSA PreCheck. Is there going to be a PreCheck line?
So there will be a separate queuing line for PreCheck, but you will merge back into standard screening at that point. So it's the first time we've had this. We're going to have a lot more space for queuing certainly than we had in the old building. But with PreCheck, folks that are PreCheck cleared will get benefit of it here, as well as, you know, when you're at some other point within the country and being able to fly PreCheck when you return home.
Let's go outside for a moment and talk about parking, because that's also part of your evolution.
We've paved the remainder of what once was lot 4, our remote lot, which is now right at the front door to the airport. So all our parking is paved in that area. Folks will still pay on foot with our permit system.
You mentioned the other day something about a tiered parking.
We have removed long-term and short-term parking. Essentially, you can park in whichever lot you'd like, and the lots are either $13 lots or $9 lots. So there's no longer a term for parking. We will have some short-term spaces for hourly parking in close for folks that are meeting and greeting. But whether it's a 3-day limit or some of the things we've had in the past, we've taken that off the plate, tried to simplify parking. Our parking is a bit complicated, and we've tried to reduce the number of choices people have to make.
So the $9 parking, I presume that's a greater distance away from
exactly.
The terminal. And is it clearly delineated by signage?
Yes, so that will be some of the more distant parking, certainly, from the terminal.
Let's go back inside the terminal, because there are a lot of evolutions that I love, and one is more gates, and what do you call them?
The jet bridges.
Yeah, the jet bridges.
So we now have 6 gates. We can actually park 6 aircraft at a separate gate with their own door, which is really a first of its kind. We've been boarding aircraft through a single door for many years, and as the aircraft have gotten larger and the flight schedules have gotten more condensed, that becomes more and more complicated and inconvenient for folks as they're preparing to board a flight, and whether they're in the lounge area or they're trying to figure out which plane to get on, it's just a difficult situation. So now we have 6 gates. 3 of the parking positions can be served by a jet bridge. There's only 2 jet bridges, but one can swing
back and
between
forth,
gates 2 and 3. So in the morning now, we have 4 flights on the ground all at one time. All those aircraft will certainly have their own gate. I think a much more orderly boarding process than what we've seen in the past.
Well, I'm flying out tomorrow morning, day 1, and I always get stuck every other week on the early morning when, like you said, there were 4 flights going out at once. And it was literally a nightmare in the old terminal. How have you mitigated that here?
Capacity is the main variable. Throughput that we can handle both at the checkpoint, in the gate area. It's really been about trying to make the areas that need to service the passenger larger, whether it's the ticketing area, the number of feet of curb front we have, the number of toilets we have in a restroom, some of which help you get to your flight on time and some of which certainly make for a more comfortable experience. But everything is orders of magnitude larger. And really, you know, not just right-sizing it for today, but looking to the future and what we can continue to grow the airport into.
Talk to us for a moment. Your chariots?
So there is a system in the gate area that we have what are called mobile chariots. So if an airline is going to use a gate other than what they typically operate off of, it is a rolling unit with computer monitor, boarding card reader, and other systems, and they can move to a separate gate, make all their boarding announcements from a gate they don't typically operate off of, and be able to function as if they were at their home gate. This allows us much greater flexibility in the utilization of our gates as flight schedules change, aircraft sizes change, whatever variable the airlines are working with the facility, as we've modeled it on paper, should adapt much more readily to the changes they're making.
Let's jump back to early morning flight when you have your four outbounds about the same time. Tomorrow morning when I board, will it be simultaneous boarding, or would they still be closely staggered?
They'll still be closely staggered, but we anticipate in the future, as the airlines look at those flight schedules and how our facility can accommodate them, they'll have more flexibility to meet the requirements of wherever they're flying to. And really, when folks ask, why does San Luis have all the flights that leave at the same time? It's because of the banking system at the hubs, and that they're trying to receive aircraft within a given period of time so passengers can transition to another flight and continue on their way.
And it has to do with we're on the West Coast, right? Tell us about that.
Yes.
We forget about the geographic disconnect.
Exactly. So folks that are trying to get to the East Coast, you certainly prefer to start your travel early in the morning. And there's only so many banks at the given hubs during the day to make connections. So
because you're losing 2 to 3 hours just taken away from you by the time you get to Michigan or the East Coast.
Exactly. And so our schedule really starts to look at, if you're going to make a connection in L.A. or Phoenix or Denver, when do they need to be leaving here to get the appropriate time slot on the ground so you can join your next flight onto wherever you're going. The airport doesn't control the flight schedules. That's set by the airlines.
Let's talk for a moment about hours of operation, because I understand that's a game changer too.
So the checkpoint will operate continuously throughout the day. And in the old facility, the checkpoint would close for periods during the day. Given the systems and facility we're going to have in place, the checkpoint will remain open throughout the day, which is a benefit to travelers that want to arrive early.
So TSA will be there continuously, is what you're saying?
Continuously staffing the checkpoint throughout the day. The immediate benefit we see from that is that it should relieve congestion that would accumulate at the old facility when folks would start to arrive and get in line. And then immediately there's a line at the checkpoint that never goes away. So we're anticipating that that will help reduce wait times. So the biggest change in terms of timing is going to be the checkpoint operating continuously. The building will still close at night. We'll close after the last arrival or 12:30, but we certainly will remain open for late arrivals. And so those hours are unchanged.
The evolution in the airline industry is so rapid that you probably have a hard time keeping up with changes and evolutions.
Well, absolutely. If you look at during just the course of construction, not even design, but construction, we've had 5 different models of aircraft serve the airport. We transitioned from turboprops to all regional jets. We've seen the average size of our aircraft triple. We've added an airline. We've added 2 destinations. So we have seen more change just in the last 2 years than perhaps the last 10 at the airport. And that's during a time when we're both building and trying to evolve with those changes. It's been very challenging. We've met it, I think, on success in some levels, and others, clearly we've struggled. Parking has been a challenge as we have lost space for parking.
So you have to be kind of a soothsayer and a visionary to know what you're going to be confronted with next year.
You do, and a lot of what my job involves is looking ahead, trying to see over the horizon as to what's coming next, because whether it's a large facility you're building, whether it's equipment you need to buy, whether it's people you need to get trained, new requirements that we're going to have to meet from a regulatory standpoint, there's always something downrange that we need to be preparing for, and it takes time to prepare for those things. It takes money to prepare for them. So I'm constantly looking downrange to what's happening next and really trying to help us be positioned as best as we can to meet those challenges in a way that we're perhaps ahead of them, and being able to lead a little bit rather than trying to recover. And the last 2 years during construction, we have been constantly challenged with both the building of a major project and trying to keep up with an industry that's changing very rapidly.
The length of the runway and the structural strength of the runway itself could handle a 737 Boeing, correct?
Correct. Our facility is sized for both Boeing and Airbus, Airbus A319 aircraft, as well as the Boeing 737 family. Our runway is equipped to handle that as well. The runway was extended many years ago, and so we can meet those requirements today. A little known fact is our runway is longer than the runway at John Wayne in Orange County. People are often surprised when they hear that, but when you look at the type of traffic that airport accommodates, we're well within the realm of being able to do that.
But there's a disconnect, you were telling me the other day, because even though you could bring in 737s, it's kind of a game breaker in some respects.
Well, what really changes is as the airlines continue to upgauge aircraft, you're going to lose frequencies because the quantity that an airline measures in a market is not flights per day, it's seats per day. And so the larger the aircraft, you know, you're going to have more seats on any given flight. You're likely going to lose some frequencies, as we saw when the Brazilians were retired a couple of years ago. I'm a fan of the RJs for our market. I think it really works well right now. It gives people the balance between frequency, which is a level of convenience, with certainly the increased comfort of a larger aircraft.
So the RJ, the regional jet, it provides some nimbleness then, right?
It does. In terms of the size of the airplane, you know, we're carrying anywhere from 50 to 78 passengers per flight. 737 is going to cross the 130-plus passenger mark. So quite a bit larger, and I think anyone who's flown on the larger RJs, particularly the Embraer 175s, they're beautiful airplanes. They're really quite comfortable, and they offer a lot of what a large 737-type aircraft would offer.
And I can testify some of the seats on them are more comfortable than some of the heavies that you get on the old war horses.
Yes.
Once again, getting your crystal ball out and looking into the relative near-term future, one, you have on the close horizon the opportunity for some new destinations serving San Luis Obispo.
Well, just as we pursued Denver and Seattle service for many years that finally came to fruition, you know, the list goes on. Our current prospect markets are Portland and Dallas. You know, certainly markets like Salt Lake City that had service historically could be considered. New places like San Diego, you know, or even a Sacramento that was served once upon a time by United. Those are all, I would say, in the realm of possibility, but we've really been focused recently on Portland and Dallas.
Portland and Dallas, it isn't that so many people from the county want to go to Portland or to Dallas, but again, isn't it the hub and spoke that makes that viable?
Exactly. When you look at local demand, which is a significant part of the conversation with any airline, equally and typically greater importance to the airline is the market that you're going to be flying into and what is the demand there to come back to San Luis Obispo. You know, if you do the math in any of these large metro markets, there's a whole lot more people there than there is in San Luis Obispo, and we're very fortunate to live in a place that people want to either come visit or do business. Which
let's expand on that, because that's I keep thinking about outbound, and I forget that we are this on the world map as an inbound destination, and that's what makes you a doable, viable Denver connection.
Absolutely. If our market was a somewhere America that people didn't choose to visit for, you know, vacation or to see a kid in college or to, you know, to come do some kind of business, our market would look a lot different than it does today. We certainly have 5 destinations and 14 flights a day. And for a community of our size, that's really good in today's world where 3 airlines, you know, have 85% of the capacity at their control. So we're very fortunate to have the service we do. And I really hope that folks that haven't flown our market through our airport in a long time, give it another look. It's a whole different experience than what they would have had a few years ago. On par, I would say, with any large airport you're going to experience from a comfort and convenience standpoint.
And today, how many different airlines serve San Luis Obispo?
So we have 3 airlines today. We have American, United, and Alaska. And we're serving Denver, Seattle, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, and Phoenix. You know, the growth in our market is really great, and I'd like to see it continue going. We've had year-over-year almost 20% growth for the last few years, and we'd like to continue that trend. There's work to do to get there, but we're looking forward.
And you plan for the future here. There's a footprint for an addition, right?
We've already got the building set up for 3 potential expansions, and that's both structurally and in terms of how we've worked with systems to be able to grow into that, both on the ticketing side of the building, the bag claim, and then the gate side. So there's plans in place for the future that when the time is right, we'll be able to move forward with them.
The cost of this airport was substantial, and yet a lot of people don't know the direct cost to the county taxpayers wasn't that great.
So the project is, a majority of it's been funded by FAA grants, and those are paid into through fuel taxes within the aviation system. The remainder, the roughly $6 million in debt that is being supported by this project, is being paid for by the airport's both passenger facility charges that are levied on airline tickets and airport operating budget. So the taxpayer is not supporting this project. It's really aviation user fees and grants.
And that was what, $20 million?
Cost is actually just under $40 million.
$40 million. Wow.
We've received over $20 million in discretionary FAA funding through the grants and then several years of entitlement grants that the airport receives. So we've been really fortunate to have a lot of success with working with the FAA to bring a facility like this online. As a small airport, we're eligible for those kind of funds. And then to have the passenger numbers that we do, we can support that debt through passenger facility charges.
Excellent. Kevin Boomen, Airport Director, San Luis Obispo Airport. What a pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks. Enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, we can always say we were here day one.
Day one. And
thanks again. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from San Luis Obispo.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.